During the past week, there have been at least three separate attacks launched by what are referred to as lone wolf terrorists, who are often inspired by propaganda from groups like ISIS. Last Monday, in Quebec, a man who had converted to Islam and had become radicalized purposely crashed his car into two soldiers, killing one of them before he was shot dead. 2 days later, another gunman with a similar story killed a soldier standing guard at a war memorial in Ottawa. He later raced into the Parliament building before being shot dead. Then Thursday, in Queens, New York, a man who had posted comments sympathetic to the jihadists used a hatchet to attack four rookie police officers posing for a picture on the street. He, too, was shot dead. Today, on the Sunday talk shows, the heads of the House and Senate Intelligence Committees commented on the attacks.
What kind of threat does that pose to our own national security?
Huge and getting worse.
These attacks and the multiplicity of attacks in 2014 show that their propaganda is having some effect.
For more about all this, we're joined now from Boston by Jitte Clausen. She is a professor at Brandeis University and the founder of the Western Jihadism Project, which tracks the activity of Islamist extremists in the West. So I want to ask, what's behind these lone wolf attacks?
Well, we call them lone wolves, but in most cases they have been connected to networks and peer groups and militants for some time. And they carry out the attacks by themselves, but they are not actually lone wolves in the sense that they have just become radicalized off the internet or something like that. Of course, there are exceptions to this general rule, but right now there is a call out from the Islamic State group, sometimes referred to as ISIL, to carry out attacks on people who represent the Western states.
Okay, so we're also hearing more frequently about the sympathizers in the West who are lured to go and fight for ISIS. What are the reasons for that?
Well, one reason is that they have been able to go. ISIL has invited them. There were many Westerners who tried to go and fight for al-Qaeda in Iraq in the previous insurgency in Iraq, and they weren't welcome. But ISIL has been pursuing a colonization strategy in Syria for some time. And so in the course of 2013, they started inviting Westerners to come and settle. And there were many Westerners who thought it was a very attractive proposition to walk around the streets of Syrian cities that they referred to as the liberated zones and police the local Muslim population in those places. So they were very attracted to the idea of getting control and being the big man or big woman on the block.
Okay, well, once they get there, the story might change a bit. As your research tracks, there's actually a much higher mortality ratio of the Westerners who go in there. Oftentimes they're used as suicide bombers because they're not really much more good to ISIL or ISIS?
Yes, that's correct. But in 2013, the mortality rates weren't so high. They have really picked up since the start of this year. And we are now picking up evidence of people who want to come home and have had regrets. But at the same time, even as that's happening, there are also new people who are leaving. By my count, based on estimates from the different Western governments, there have been around 3,000 Westerners who have, at one point in time, gone off and joined the extremist jihadist groups.
What happens when they come back? Is there evidence to show that they are more likely to launch an attack at their home in the West?
There is evidence of that, but there are also some coming back who are exhibiting signs of having had regrets, particularly among some of the younger groups, the women, some of the teenagers who are taken off. But they are by no means the only stream that has gone off. They are very hardened folks who have gone off to people with experience from previous insurgencies, a Boston man named Ahmed Abu Samra, who went both to Pakistan and to Yemen, and took off to Syria in 2006, is now believed to be in charge of the social media operations on behalf of ISIL. And so we should be careful not to draw too fast conclusions about what sort of threat these people present when they come back. And for sure, we know from previous experiences with insurgencies and Westerners going off that having had the experience of learning how to carry out violence, shooting a gun and putting together a bomb, they will come back and they will try to carry out violence here. And there have been incidents already that have fortunately been foiled, with the exception of one, an incident in Brussels at the Jewish Museum there.
All right. Yita Clausen from Brandeis University joining us from Boston today. Thanks so much.
Thank you.